We Talk Podcast presents.
What it is? What it do? Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua Adam William Armathont. With the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Joel, it's going okay. An interesting week in the world of wrestling and mixed martial arts with two of the worst cut quotes and promos I've ever heard.
Yeah.
One was the Drifter tonight saying the Drifter's going to show Nakamura that he's a drifter, and he's going to drift him out of NXT.
But that's gold. Someone paid money to write that line.
The other one was, one versus all, one needs the all, but sometimes all needs the one.
Again, someone got paid to write that line.
I think that would be with us tonight. All, I guess, doesn't need the one because we don't have Mo on the show again tonight. We're back to just myself and Joel Johnson, which means it won't be a two-hour podcast.
I'm a little disappointed. I've been enjoying those podcasts. I've finally kind of gotten used to it. I've kind of done the prep work beforehand, getting ready for it, and now it's all gone. I'm a little sad.
But like I said, Mo, we love you, but you go on a little bit. He's an information factoid. He just spits out everything.
I think we could spend a whole podcast just asking him questions and having him answer.
Absolutely. But we'll have Mo for sure back out. I'm not sure the boys that We Talk Wrestling are doing a show themselves this week. If they are, make sure you check that. But for now, we're just going to assume that at We Talk Podcast, we're the only wrestling podcast for you this week. And we will get into it starting with the crazy world of mixed martial arts. Connor was back. Then he wasn't back, and now we have a new main event.
Yep. Jones, Cormier?
Cormier. Yeah.
Close. So
that was a fight that was supposed to happen, and it didn't because Cormier was hurt, and we will see what happens. You and I are both going for Cormier. We've made no bones about it, that we're not fans of John Bones Jones and his lifestyle.
Yeah.
Being reckless.
I'm very excited to see this fight. I think anytime.
And Dan Cormier is a huge wrestling fan too, by the way.
Yeah, so he gets our support.
Yeah. But so what do you think about this whole Connor thing?
I'm not surprised he got pulled from 200. It's, you can't have the toddler throw a temper tantrum and then let the toddler do what he wants. You have to punish him, and this is what's happening. He's getting punished. He will fight again, but he's missing out on a massive payday. And a lot of people feel like this is the fall of the popularity of Conor McGregor. I don't think it's quite the fall, but it definitely doesn't help him. So,
I mean, here's my view on it. I think that you got to go to that the second tweet. The retirement tweet was weird, and that was a little immature. I think we both can agree on that. But I don't understand why he would announce that he has a fight when he doesn't have a fight.
Yeah, it just seemed like he thought, oh, well, this is how it's going to be. I think maybe this is a game, like a cat-and-mouse game, just a very weird back-and-forth attitude dynamic between Dana and Connor. Maybe they told him that, oh, yeah, you got your fight, and then pulled the rug from out under him. Or he just kind of assumed that he's going to get a fight and everything's all hunky-dory and just assumed that he's going to get the 200 main event and then that got taken away. It's such a weird situation. Everything that's happened with Conor McGregor and the UFC has been so weird. It's been so surreal how in, what, a week? This would be about a week's time. Over a week that this is all played out, and it's still, we still have more questions than answers.
It's bizarre too, because in that tweet he lists the Fertitta and Dana White in that tweet. So in whatever mind he has thought that everything was settled, you would assume, when he sent out that tweet.
Yeah. And clearly it wasn't, because you're not fighting at 200. You're missing. I figure he'll probably, they probably will give him,
I've heard 202. I've heard 202 for him. 202 for him.
Yeah.
That's a card that really haven't anything on it. But still, it's the 200 one is a big payday.
Yeah. And I think that's the punishment for him. So it's you can't fight on this card because you did some stuff that we don't appreciate, and we have to publicly scorn you a bit.
Now, what do you think of the idea that? So Connor's big thing about this now, like even when we did the podcast last week, we didn't have all the facts. So his main sticking point is the promotion, and that he doesn't really want to go out and do all these presses here and there. That he just really wants to focus on the fight. He was cool doing the one in New York this week and just doing that, but he didn't want to go out and do the one in, I can't remember if it was Vegas or LA, but he didn't want to be part of that. I kind of seem to agree with him. I think when you bring in the money that a Ronda Rousey or Connor do, Connor would have doubled whatever this would have been. I think Jones and Cormier will add to it, but Connor and Ronda are the faces. Do you, and even Ronda blamed a little bit of her overpromotion of not being able to focus on the fight as much. Do you kind of side with them on that side?
I think there's, you have to have the balance. You're in arguably the biggest spot for mixed martial arts, so you are going to have to do a little bit of press. I think there needs to be a balance. Maybe they need to work on just having that balance, but I don't think Connor went about it the right way to try to get the balance. I understand that you might have to go to what could be considered slightly extreme measures, but at the same time, you got to think that it's not an easy lifestyle, and it does take its toll. So you gotta. There's two sides to this, definitely, and I can see both sides, but I definitely lean more towards that fighter where you need the balance and you need to focus on that fight, because I always go back to it. UFC, boxing, whatever it is, whatever combat sport it is, you're basically taking a loaded gun into the ring. And at any point, it could go off, and it could be a total freak action. So you need to be as prepared as possible. So we can see the balance on both sides, but I think you need that balance. You need to do the promotion, but you also need to be well-trained.
Yeah, I side with what Connor's saying. I think there should have been an even balance between these two guys, because I think with what Connor brings to it, he really wanted this fight. Like, he went to Dana and asked for this fight against Nate Diaz. And I think there should be a middle ground. I see what Dana is going with, though, because he doesn't want to set this idea that any fighter is bigger than the company, and that once you get to a certain point, oh, you don't have to do as much promotion. You don't have to do this. We'll give you a break on this. We'll give you a break on this. He needed to kind of put his foot down and be like, no, everyone is an equal. So I respect what Dana's doing in that. I see both sides where there is. I think there's some equal grounding on this, but I see where both sides are coming from.
I totally agree. I think there needs to be, again, that balance that needs to be achieved, where there's a little bit of PR, but there's also a focus on training, and it just, you need to have that balance and the safety and well-being of your clients.
So we'll see what happens with the UFC. For now, the card seems to be set. There's still a lot of good fights, the Frankie Edgar and the Aldo fight, the Miesha Tate and the Nunes fight, and now Jones and Cormier chopping it out. Who knows, Joel? Maybe things will change, and maybe we'll still get that fight. Nate Diaz said he's going on vacation, though.
Yeah, well, they'll have to. I'm sure if there's a fight to be had at 200, he will be there with bells on.
Yes. So we will see what happens at 200. Other UFC news is Ronda Rousey has signed a 3-picture deal to do Lifetime movies. A little bit of a bizarre move.
Yeah, that definitely doesn't seem that. Well, whatever pays the bills, I guess, and whatever passion you have, if that's where you want to go, by all means, do it.
I think we're going to be seeing a lot less of Ronda more and more. I think maybe she does that MSG show, but that's about it. I think we could maybe never see Ronda again, even.
I don't think you'll ever never see her again, but she will never be that constant draw that she once was. I think those days are done. But I definitely think we'll see her pop up for maybe one or two more fights, and then that's the end.
She kind of seems like a Brock Lesnar in a way for them, where we'll bring her once or twice a year for the big shows, and then from there, she's gone.
And, you know, that's not a bad lifestyle to have. I do think he'll eventually get faded out, and that's perfectly okay.
So we move on now to the world of the WWE, and we'll just talk about NXT really quickly here before we get to Raw. Pretty lackluster NXT, but the crazy thing is, you know, just knowing the way that it works for Joel and I, Dave Meltzer has his Tuesday deadline. Joel and I have our Wednesday deadline. Breaking kayfabe, same when the pod's recorded here.
Oh my god!
And I just know that something is going to happen at those NXT tapings, Joel.
When are they taped? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, and it's a key because I think if anything big happens, we may add on top of it really quickly tomorrow. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because the key to that is how much is Finn Balor on those tapings?
Well,
and is Bobby Roode on those tapings?
The interesting thing is, they did a video package, like they did a small little video for WWE.com and the Facebook and the YouTube about Finn Balor's status, and they talked about him potentially being there at Payback. So I'm thinking if the company's putting out a video going, maybe, I can't see the company being, oh yeah, we'll totally help you troll the fans again. But then again, this is the land of the WWE, and it's run by Vincent Kennedy McMahon, who tries to wear a bra and rides a giraffe in Camp WWE.
I'm looking forward to reviewing that as much as I am Payback on Sunday.
Oh yeah, I think we'll get treated very well. So maybe this is all just one big troll job. So I think Thursday's going to be a big deciding factor. I have heard they would let Finn pull double duty with NXT tapings and WWE.
Well, and the thing you and I keep on pushing up to is in about a month, that June UK tour. It's only a month away, and the tapings will do what they do, and maybe you keep them off house shows, but I think they really want him for that UK tour just because of where he's from in Ireland.
Yeah.
And I think he's a big draw over there. Oh. So I think like him and Knack and Joe are really big deals there. And another thing with the tapings is, could this be the debut of Bobby Roode?
It totally could be.
Or maybe an Eric Young as well, or maybe some people from the Cruiserweight Championship.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see anyone from the Cruiserweight Championship, but I think we're going to see some guys that we may. I think Bobby Roode's the most likely.
I think Bobby Roode and maybe an outside chance of Eric Young.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you.
And we'll see where the women's division is going, because on NXT tonight they teased Nia Jax versus Asuka. I would think that's just going to be a TV program, and we're probably going to get the Bayley-Asuka rematch.
Yeah, you need to give that match. You have to have that match, because I think that's Bayley's last go in the NXT. Because how much more can she do? After you win that championship, where do you go next?
And I really think there's kind of a next line in NXT.
Yeah.
As far as the women go, with, you know, Carmella's kind of stepping in and doing her own thing. We got the Nia Jaxes, we got the Eva Maries, the Dana Brooks, the Peyton Reese, maybe Tessa Blanchard. It's not what the division was. You know, I think, all respect to all the ladies there, we're going to have a little bit of a drop aside from Asuka.
Yeah, I think. But the one thing about professional wrestling is it goes through so many ebb and flows that NXT was bound to hit an ebb. They'll eventually bounce back. They seem to be a very well-run show. They have good idea of what they want. And there's a lot of young talent out there that they could poach and help restock the shelves for NXT.
Alexa Bliss, another one. But sorry, going back, I think I had you in the middle of debuting guys like a Bobby Roode on NXT.
Yeah. I think Bobby Roode would fill that. I think Bobby Roode could be the guy that takes the title from Joe and then pushes Joe to the main roster. But really, debut-wise, I think Bobby Roode and that's it.
Maybe Bobby Roode versus Austin Aries feud?
That's totally possible. They did in TNA, but WWE doesn't exist, so it'd be a fresh feud.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of guys that he could go with on the NXT roster the right Drifter? Now. Maybe the Drifter, yeah. Maybe Nakamura.
Yeah, we don't know how long Nakamura is going to be down in NXT, so it's totally possible.
I mean, I could see Nakamura contending against Joe for the title.
Yeah.
I could also see him having a feud with an Austin Aries, with a Bobby Roode, and just doing that, getting the UK tour, and then coming on up.
Yeah. I think the Japan tour will be when we see that transition for Shinsuke Nakamura.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what we see on there tomorrow. I'm assuming we'll find a new contender for Chad and Gable. We saw a few tag teams do their stuff today. I'd assume a rematch versus the Revival, Joel?
Yep, I think that's just naturally where it goes. I think the Revival more inclined to stay in in NXT for a little bit longer. I think they're good with their call-ups. I don't think there's much room for more guys to come up. So.
Especially with the possibility of Finn is probably next, and followed by a Joe and a Nakamura eventually.
Bailey. Speaking of Finn, there are talks that he could join Sunday. The hashtag GB on Gallows and Anderson's gear.
Good brothers.
Yep. So that's okay. AJ kept referring to them as good brothers, so that's, you know, a little hint. WWE has trademarked the hashtag Bullet Club.
Huh.
So, but well, it doesn't
also,
mean that,
it was noted too, Joel, they chanted Bullet Club really loud and Kevin Dunn didn't mute them.
He did. It went for a little bit and then the mics totally dropped.
Oh, okay.
So they're very cautious. It doesn't mean, because they have it trademarked with the hashtag in front of it, so whatever that means, but there could still be, there's a war between New Japan and WWE right now. I've heard names that they've toyed with is the Bulletproof Club and the Club Bullet.
Club Bullet sounds stupid.
Yeah. Anyone who got paid to come up with that.
So, again, we continuously search for this. The Young Bucks put up the tweet that they own it.
I've tried to look for stuff, and I have no clue what the...
Now, I wonder if by that they mean that the collective whole of the Bullet Club members own the rights to it. Which, if that's the case, you'd assume that they would let those guys have it, maybe? Because they're kind of turning to the elite.
Yeah, they're turning into the elite. I do... From my understanding, New Japan owns the Bullet Club trademark.
But then we had heard stuff about the copyright going till June.
Yeah, because that's when they trademarked it, was in June. Mm-hmm. So whether it means that it expires then, I don't know.
Because you can ride things out, right? You have this pay-per-view, whatever day it is, I think it's May 1st. I think you have one 3 weeks later at Extreme Rules. So you can kind of ride this out a little bit, sinking around that Bullet Club name.
Yeah. And speaking of the Bullet Club, there's the current rumor is that Seth Rollins is expected to be at the Payback show.
Oh.
Don't know what it means. No one has a clue what it kind of means. I think he might just be there. I think his recovery is going well, and he's close to returning, but I don't think he's 100%.
No, there's no way he's ready yet.
No. But there's also a rumor that either at one of the next couple big pay-per-views that we may get an elimination, war games style, the Shield versus the Bullet Club.
Interesting.
I'd perfectly be okay with that. I could live with that, and it would not bug me at all.
So that happens, Joel. We're going to kind of go all over the place, because there's so many little puzzle pieces that fit in right now, which is what I love about what we're in right now, because it's been a long time since we've kind of been figuring out these pieces going into a pay-per-view. Yeah. Another puzzle piece that comes into all this is John Cena, who's returning May 30th. Now, the question with that is, where does Cena fit into this? Is it a vengeful feud with Roman? And where do you stick Cena when he comes back? Is it maybe as simple as he just gets the U.S. title back?
I don't think he wants the U.S. title.
Del Rio? Maybe that's why Del Rio is broken up today?
Yeah. Well, I think that they were planning to break up the League of Nations for a little bit. I think it was time. It's run. It's cool.
Also, they were supposed to do the feud with the Wyatts, and that's not going to happen. Now, you would think that would have happened at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, the breakup would have happened there. But I think that... I don't know where Cena slots into all this. I know Cena has to slot at the top of the card.
Randy Orton as well.
Yeah. You're suddenly getting a very crowded card, and if a Balor debuts, that suddenly makes it just a little bit more crowded, because the constant thing I keep hearing is they want to take Finn and tie a little rocket to him and shoot him as high as possible. So,
well, yeah, because this is what I'm thinking, Joel. Going into the summer, we know there's going to be the Authority storyline.
Yeah.
There's going to be this Bullet Club, Shield kind of mixed around storyline. So I don't know who's going to be in the Authority side of things. It's going to probably be a Hunter Shane match. I'm assuming now it's SummerSlam instead of the Seth match. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, which is a shame because I'd like to have seen Seth and Hunter.
And then so I don't know, but you got to assume someone from the roster will sneak into that as well. Both sides will kind of have their guys.
Yeah. I think Cena may end up being the guy for...
Maybe he slides into there with Shane?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe Randy goes back to the Authority?
Maybe. I don't know. It's Orton's going to be a weird one to try to play, so...
Mm-hmm. So more or less what I'm saying is you have the Authority storyline, you have the Shield one, and then you got to figure out where Cena and Orton go. And then everyone else just kind of does their own individual things.
Yeah. It's definitely, for the first time in a while, it'll become very crowded very quickly.
It's crazy, too, because you have two big programs.
Oh, yeah, for the summer? I wonder if they...
Yeah, you only have the one central big program. You have two gigantic ones.
And especially with the Bullet Club, whatever they're going to be called, that's a big draw, because I think you and me talked about it last year when Juice and Thunder Liger... wrestled. We're like, wonder what this means for if there's any New Japan work or anything. We're kind of fantasy booking the potential of the Bullet Club appearing, and now this year we're talking about the Bullet Club wrestling in WWE.
Pretty crazy, isn't it?
And I think that's a big draw. I think it's a bigger draw than the Authority in a lot of ways. I think we've seen a battle for power so many times that it's kind of lost its luster.
It's actually pretty funny, Joel. I was watching 2001 Backlash this afternoon, and it's pretty much the same storyline during the invasion angle. It's Shane wanting to have a change with WCW. Just take the WCW out of the start of the invasion storyline and him and Steph fighting for power. That's 15 years ago.
I think the power storyline needs to just go away for a while.
But we're going to get it, so we can't do anything about it.
Yeah, let it play out, but I think that the Bullet Club's bigger than the power. I think the power struggle could be interesting, especially if it means we get a draft, and it means we get a split rosters, which I'm totally cool with, but we'll see. The nice thing is we can wait and see how these all play out.
So my question is really quickly, with the Authority Shane storyline, we're not going to get a simple decision on Sunday at Payback, right? Do you think it'll lead to the draft that night, that we're going to split it up that night?
No.
Or is it going to lead to some kind of fight?
I think it's going to lead to one person's in charge of one show for a month, one person's in charge of the other show for another month, and then whichever show does better in the ratings or does better overall, and Vince...
Maybe, what about week? I would almost go weekly.
I can see them.
Month is too strained out.
I think what they would do if it was to do a month. I don't know how they do it, but if I was to book it, I'd do it a month, and each week I'd have... You remember how in the Monday Night Wars video they had the ratings for Raw and the ratings for SmackDown?
That's why I'm saying I would do each week, because each week is a little easier. It's like, oh, I did this week, now I got to top you the next week, instead of dragging it a whole month.
Well, that's what I would do each week, is I'd have the ratings pop up, and there would be like that time frame where you'd have a month to see which show does better, and then you have the graphic where each one's kind of trying to top the other, and it's going back and forth, and it's seeing which one fans respond. And it's WWE's way of doing an actual experiment to see what clicks with the fans, but have it as a storyline.
I agree with you, but there's no way they're going to wait a whole month for in between stuff.
Well,
they're too impatient.
I can see it, because, well, maybe 3 weeks then, because they've got a pay-per-view in, 3 weeks?
So you got... Yeah, but like a whole month, there's no way they let four shows go by without Shane going on, and then four without Hunter and Stephanie going on.
Well, no, what I'm saying is... Well, yeah, I can see that point where they wouldn't have...
Yeah.
But have it be where SmackDown's Hunter and Stephanie show, then have...
Okay, so I thought you were just saying like a month without Raw, so you're saying they flip-flop.
Yeah, and then the competition between, okay, what's the ratings for Raw, what's the ratings for SmackDown, who's winning, and have this kind of
competition. Well, the thing with that is, though, we know Raw's going to win every time.
Yeah, but I think what you do is you... Because WWE doesn't ever give out real numbers. So
no, I'll say the thing on that is you have a draw for SmackDown then.
Yeah, and suddenly if, say, Shane's in charge of SmackDown, that's going to draw fans towards that because they're like, because there will be that certain fan base, well, I want to help Shane win. I don't like the authority. You know Raw will do fine on its own regardless, or at least a decent number, especially with all these playoffs and everything on TV going to their season finales. You know Raw will be fine, so have Shane doing SmackDown and seeing which one's going to win, and you can create that little graph, and you can have people...
You can kind of start building up their own individual clicks, because I don't know if a draft will work with the Bullet Club angle now.
Yeah, I think you could just have it as the Bullet Club's like, we're package unit. We have to all go somewhere. You can't just split.
But the Shield too, like, there's no way if you do an actual draft that you're gonna get Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Dean all on the same show.
Unless you want to do an interpromotional match and have it.
Right.
But
so maybe the Bullet Club is like SmackDown exclusive and Shield is Raw exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe that leads to the ultimate decision, right? Bullet Club and the Shield. Maybe the Bullet Club is Shane. The Shield is Raw and the Authority, and that's how you ultimately get it. You've got to tie it all together in one big package.
Yeah, and then you've got a program at least booked until Survivor Series.
Did we just book an awesome program, Joel?
Yep.
Yep.
Just simply, yep, nope, we crossed off. We gave everyone what they'd want. Roman still predominantly featured, AJ Styles, Finn Balor, everyone that we want.
Well, that's my question, is where does AJ fit in this? We're assuming that the Bullet Club is Finn and the Good Brothers. Where does AJ fit in this, and does it leave the possibility of maybe a fourth Shield member?
The one thing that I always hate is when they go back to these fractions and tweak it. Like, when Evolution, when it was just the three of them, it was fine. You don't need to add anyone else. You don't need to change it or anything. I'd keep the Shield still the three guys, but I'd have it be that Survivor Series, that 5-on-5, where they go...
Well, the thing is, that where does AJ go in this, then?
I don't know. AJ could go a number of different spots. It's very hard to kind of... gauge, because he's got a wide open field of different choices and different opportunities.
So, well, and you know he's going to be involved in this Bullet Club angle no matter what.
Yeah,
he's not going to disappear from it.
No, so I can see him. I could see they've said that they don't want to limit the Bullet Club to just three guys. They don't want to have it too bloated. So I'm figuring if they kind of went with a five number, that would be okay.
Right.
So, and I mean, realistically. Maybe Finn has the rocket that's going to shoot him up, but maybe that kind of keeps him in the IC title. He can feud with a guy like Cesaro, hypothetically. And AJ
you're saying?
AJ's going for the main title, and then they do the angle what they did with Omega and Styles in New Japan, where Kenny turns on AJ. You do the same thing. Finn turns on Styles and kicks him out.
So you're going to say Finn comes and it's all kind of goody-goody?
Yeah.
And then he ultimately... Okay, yeah.
And then you have Finn versus AJ Styles feud.
Maybe then you could do something. There's another member of the Bullet Club, and there's the Shield by themselves, but AJ sides with trying to help the Shield. He's not a member of the Shield, but he's trying to help the Shield. Yeah.
And that way you have that Survivor Series match where you've got two other guys that need to be helping the Shield, and you could have... like a Cena, or you could have... Well, no, because if you have the Authority and Shane involved, it becomes very murky very quick.
Yeah, I think at 1.2 in this year, I think this entire time you're keeping the belt on Roman, too. And you're slowly building tension between the three of them leading up to WrestleMania.
Yeah, because I think it's going to be a triple threat Shield.
Yeah, I honestly almost keep the belt on Roman for a year.
Yeah.
It makes him a hot champion. It makes him the guy.
Yeah, he's not a good guy, he's not a bad guy, he's the guy.
It depends on the Money in the Bank guy, too, because if that's a Finn or an AJ, for example, I think it's going to be KO or Sammy, personally.
I think KO.
But if it's a Finn or an AJ that win that briefcase with the Bullet Club stuff, that makes it even more interesting.
Yeah, it definitely kind of now throws another dynamic into everything. That there's another name that they could have win Money in the Bank, Josh, and I don't think we ever mentioned his name.
Seth?
No, he's a client of Paul Heyman.
Brock, hey?
he never got his rematch, and, I mean, having the most destructive man in WWE history holding that briefcase definitely puts a little bit of tension in the champion's mind. And you can also have it where Brock's music hits after a grueling match for Roman, and Paul comes out, and he's just kind of doing his schnick, just kind of put the fear. I think Brock, Money in the Bank champion, could be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to burn through dates for him, because you can just have him waiting. He's the hunter that's hunting whoever's the champion at the time.
That's not a bad idea. I think you can add it to the list. I think there's those five contenders for us this year, right? I don't think, I would hope, I don't think there'll be a lame duck guy like Sheamus was last year.
No.
I would think it's going to be a KO, a Sammy, an AJ, a Finn, or a Brock is a nice little wild card pick. I like that pick.
Yeah.
Or it could be someone like an Apollo Crews, to be honest.
It just kind of, I don't want it to be because he still needs time.
Neither do I, but you never know. They kind of have a mini rocket demo. It could even be like a guy like a Baron Corbin.
Yeah, it totally could be. And the nice thing with the Money in the Bank is you can have it where it is a little big push for someone. You could easily give it to Cesaro for all we know.
Right, and that's what kind of I liked with Finn. It helped with Seth. It kind of built Seth up, the tease it, and same with Dolph, right? There's way in Sandow, there's ways to use it correctly. Sandow didn't win his, but, you know, it was building up.
Yeah, it helped build that person up, and I think there's so much talent on this roster that if you give it to a guy like a Finn, an AJ, Sammy, KO, suddenly it becomes a little rocket, but you also get to see that person really shine, and you get to see what that person's like under the main event spotlight, because now you've taken them and you've given them the Money in the Bank, they're going to be predominantly featured. They are going to be the guy that you look towards and go, so when are they going to cash in? Am I looking forward to them cashing in? And it helps the fans, because you'd pop huge if KO cashed in.
Of course. Let's move now. We'll come back to the Bullet Club in a bit when we do our payback preview. Let's move to the women's division really quick. Let's talk about Ric Flair on the SmackDown tapings.
Woo!
Yikes.
Yeah. Here's the thing. He is how old, Josh?
Old.
So he's older than old. He grew up in an era where there wasn't as much political correctness around. And, I mean, it was a slip of a tongue. I can't see it with a malicious attempt, especially with Flair's history. I just kind of brush it off as, don't do that again, Flair. PG, you can't say that. Thank God you said that on SmackDown and not on Raw.
Yeah, well, and the edit was really good. It was funny because I believe they also edited something Natty said out as well.
Really?
Because it was a very short segment. I know you haven't seen it yet, but it was a very short segment. And it seemed like it because they had to cut it a lot, and they did a fantastic job of cutting it out. If the video from SmackDown was out online, so you could see how the whole thing played out. And Natty points out, because Flair says he beat Bret in WWE, which I don't believe he did, because Bret beat him for the title.
Yeah.
And Natty said that in her promo, and that got cut out as well.
Oh, really? Wow.
So some interesting choices. They played a little bit of the cancer card.
Are we shocked?
It made me consider even more that she's going to win.
Yeah, I think so. And I think Bret was very unhappy about being involved in this. He'd said that so online. He's not thrilled about having to travel and do this. But he's going to be there for Natty. So I think they kind of had to tell him that Natty's getting something out of this.
Okay, I didn't know. Well, we knew he had a lot of problems with the WrestleMania.
Yeah, he had a lot of problems with the WrestleMania. He has a lot of problems with AJ Styles' finishing move. And
why is that?
He says it's kind of just big belly flop. There's nothing special about it, the Styles Clash. So
agree to disagree, Brett.
Yeah. And he wasn't thrilled because he just had wrist surgery, apparently, so he's just not...
Oh, yeah, wrist surgery, too.
Yeah. So I can imagine, if you've had surgery and you've gone through what he's gone through the last little bit, it's not ideal to be traveling for a wrestling show, but I think this kind of tells me that Natty's getting the title.
Yeah, I would assume so. It's funny, a lot of these legends, like Stone Cold had a torn rotator cuff when he came out of WrestleMania.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He just got surgery recently, and due to the surgery, he can't lift his arm up. he went to sip a thing, drink of his wine and dripped his wine onto the computer that he records his podcast on and destroyed the computer.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
So he had to go to the Mac store, get a whole new Mac with all the software and all that stuff.
Could you imagine Stone Cold in an Apple store?
I just imagine Stone Cold coming to you and saying, like, I spilled my wine. Like, that's not what I would expect to hear from Stone Cold.
Yeah,
that I spilled my wine.
You probably pause there for a second and be like, yeah.
I'm like, no. You mean beer? Nope, I mean wine.
Here's your new computer. Don't stun me, please. Don't.
He said that he was really impressive with Rusev, though. And apparently, yeah. Rusev had been practicing how to take the stunner all day. He was so excited.
I can imagine for anyone growing up, that, oh, you're going to take the Stone Cold Stunner? Sign me up.
Well, even Enzo was saying that in NXT during practices, they'd have classes where they just had, like, you know, like when you play hockey or basketball or whatever, it's like, oh, we get the scrimmage, and that was the funnest part of practice.
Yeah.
Well, their version of that is they had, like, a drill where they'd take Stone Cold Stunners.
Oh, God.
At the Performance Center, yeah.
I wonder who the best at it was.
Yeah, I'd like to know that, too. I'd just like to see the video of who's ever, like, feeding them in and who's giving them and whatnot.
Just because I remember they did, it was in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, they did eight.
Which made an appearance on Raw this week.
Yeah. It's crazy world of 2016 pro wrestling. There was a whole match that had ACH from ROH turn into the Stone Cold, and then Kenny Omega turn into The Rock, and they did their whole schnick. So you can definitely tell that there's just genuine wrestling fans out there that are, like, mimicking The Rock and Austin and their little whole back and forth. I'm not surprised. I imagine Rusev being giddy schoolgirl mentality of, so, kid, you're going to take the stunner tonight.
And he's on vacation around. Right now, too.
Pardon?
He's on vacation right now.
Yeah.
Him and Lana just sent out some snaps.
Yeah, they seem to be enjoying life. I hope Rusev gets a push. I hope Rusev, because Rusev I enjoy.
Yeah. Rusev and Del Rio, I think it's time to redo them up. Let's get back to work, especially Del Rio. And Del Rio has to have the right program to get back into.
Yeah.
Because, like we've been saying for the longest time, there is just a shortage of heels.
They need to, and both of them can just be fantastic heels and exactly what you need.
Even. Also, something I was thinking of, so the pre-show match is Ryback and Kalisto.
Yeah.
And, man, you got to do something with that U.S. title. I like Kalisto, and I know you do too, but I almost starting to wonder if maybe we need to take the title off of Kalisto for a while.
Yeah.
And just focus on Lucha Dragon stuff for a while.
Yeah. Well, is there any major things from Raw and SmackDown this week that you'd like to hit on?
I just kind of want to talk about that really quickly, and we can kind of still go all over the place.
Yeah, let's hit on Raw and SmackDown, then we'll land on our payback talk preview.
I'm just saying with Kalisto, do you just not think that the U.S. title just really has been nothing?
Yeah, it's not featured on Raw, it's featured a little bit on SmackDown, but it doesn't feel like it's important anymore. It feels like it's just a prop.
I wouldn't have Ryback beat him.
No.
I'd have him beat Ryback this week, and then I just personally get rid of Ryback. Yeah. And I think I put the title on Baron Corbin.
Yeah, it makes sense. You want to push the guy, might as well give him a title and let him run with it.
You put a title on him, he's kind of this biker guy, he's the all-American biker, or what tough guy, whatever he is. At least then, he's beating people down, he has gold around his waist, and you know something of it. Even him beating up Kalisto could be the next step for him, right?
Yeah.
Kalisto beat Ryback, but he can't beat this guy.
Yeah, and it helps elevate Baron Corbin to a level where, as much as we're not huge fans of Baron Corbin, I mean, he can step in there and be a mid-card level heel, and that's something you need right now. So, all the more power.
The thing is, for me, like you and I both said, like even if we're not a fan of someone, we will root for them because we want anyone that has this to do good. Like I want people to be in the position and be good at that position.
Yeah. If you put, and I think Baron Corbin will be successful in the mid-card section of things.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be a heel, you'll hate him, he'll have the title, and then eventually, when he eventually drops it, it means something a little bit more.
That's why I have him beat the crap out of Dolph at Payback, and then I have him focus on Kalisto, beat the crap out of Kalisto, get that title. Maybe you do Baron Corbin and Cena.
Yeah. Cena, good,
I don't know.
Good match out of them.
Baron Corbin and Randy. I don't know. It's something, right? Like, it's something. I would picture Cena or Randy are going to maybe go do something against a younger guy.
Yeah.
Or maybe you eventually get to the Baron and the Apollo feud for that title. I don't know, but I like Kalisto a lot, and I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to make Rey Mysterio 2.0. It's working for him. I think he's a great performer. It's just not working with Ryback, and he needs another program at the very least.
Yeah, I think if the next program for him is with Sin Cara.
Like, I would agree. And those would be great matches, I think, as long as Sin Cara doesn't botch.
Yeah.
Which is easier said than done, but, you know, every year after WrestleMania, Joel, you and I look at the roster, and especially now with all these guys coming from NXT, rather than there's a brand split or not, and we're like, well, we're either like, these guys need to be cut, or these guys need to go.
Yeah.
And there's a few of those guys, and I think two of them, one of them really pains me to say, well, Ryback is one. We know, we both agree on that. I think Ryback, you know, he had a decent run, but it's just, he just doesn't seem to fit in this new world to me.
Yeah.
And the other, it pains me, is maybe Dolph.
Yeah.
But maybe send him down to NXT, I'm almost wondering.
Yeah, he could probably work some good matches. And you're going to need to fill it out a little bit. Ziggler's a veteran, and I don't think NXT is necessarily a punishment these days. So
no, I think it'd be a good... You have a nice veteran there, right? Like, I liked when they had Rhino down there, right? For the veteran.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a valuable person to have around, and yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Is there anyone on your list that you're looking at? Like, and obviously guys like Sandow and stuff that you'd like to just go to the indies are there, but is there anyone on your list you're like, maybe a guy that you'd like to see go to the indies, or guys you're just like, it's just not clicking, I think they need to let them go?
I'm not 100% sure who's on my list.
I guess Ryback would probably be your main answer, right?
Yeah. There's not a whole lot that comes to mind right now. There are years where there's a lot of dead weight this year. I don't know. There may be a few, but I definitely would have to take a look at the roster and kind of go who I'd like to choppy.
Ryback may be the main one, though.
Yeah, Ryback's the main one.
It sucks, too, because there was a lot of pause about Ryback. Remember when they announced him for that Hell in a Cell versus Punk? It was just like, you just didn't know what to expect. I think some of us thought, like, shit, you may actually be Punk.
Yeah. But...
So, and you don't really have, I think that's kind of what they're doing with Apollo Crews right now.
Yeah. Is they're just kind of building him up a little bit, and kind of letting him get, he had good matches with Stardust, I will say that. Him and Stardust, Cody Rhodes had a good match. So, there's definitely that, he can have good matches, it's now developing that personality.
Here's something you and I haven't talked about. The Golden Truth. This thing is still going on.
Is it?
And now, on SmackDown tonight, Goldust finally has succumbed. He's like, okay, Truth, I'll partner up with you. And now R-Truth has a new tag team partner, Joel.
Who?
Tyler Breeze.
Oh, they're doing something with Tyler Breeze. Oh.
Yeah, so it's, as far as we know right now, it's Goldust and Fandango, and Tyler Breeze and R-Truth.
Hey, might as well have something you can throw on the pre-show matches.
I guess so.
I mean, they're probably better used for some of these guys, but then again, the roster's so crowded, you're going to have these kind of mishmashes of pairings, so... Eh. It could be worse.
Could it?
So, Payback preview?
I'm just trying to think if there's anything else we're missing. Miz and Cesaro we can talk about on there.
Yeah. China.
Yeah. They did more than I thought they would. I thought there's some people that said they didn't do enough. I don't think there's any more they could do. And honestly, I don't know. I still don't think Hall of Fame is going to happen. I think that's it.
Yeah.
That's all.
It was good.
I think it was. It was good. I thought it was nice. They added the. I like that, you know, you can't really have people come into the studio and talk, so that's the power of social media. You have people send out tweets and say, Stone Cold found out 12 hours beforehand. It went to the world, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, he had a close source, but he couldn't say anything.
Wow. Well, yeah, because they found her... Wow, yeah, it's very weird how that whole thing played out and the coroner report being held off. But what they did on Raw was exactly what you needed.
Yeah, I mean, for someone like me that didn't think we'd have a package, I think it was more than what I thought we would even get, so.
Yeah. Jump into the good old Payback?
Let's get to it, man.
All right, well, let's start. I got the card right in front of me, so the first match on this... I'd call this Payback a very good wrestling card, all in all. I'm excited for a lot of things on here, but let's get to the dark match. We've talked about
it. I would say it's better than WrestleMania, to be honest.
In a lot of ways, it probably is. Kalisto versus Ryback. Kalisto is defending his U.S. title. I think both of us can agree Kalisto retains, and that's the end of Ryback rules.
Yeah, he whined about being on the pre-show of WrestleMania, so they put on the pre-show Payback.
Yeah, you don't.
And that's what you get, bud.
Yeah. So I think both of us.
What do you think the future of Ryback is? Like, I think, like, let's say for sure, if he does get cut from the company, is he a TNA guy? Like, I can't see him going to Japan or a Reign of Honor. Really, I think it's the TNA or bust. Really.
You know what? I would sign him to ROH and have him be the indie buster. Just go be that guy that's from, that represents everything for WWE and the corporate TV, WWE, and not the indie type wrestling, and have him go down there and be just kind of that heel that everyone despises because he hates independent wrestling and he hates these indie guys. The only reason
they took his job.
Yeah, they took his job, and that's what I would do if I was ROH, but I think you're right.
I like it actually quite a bit. It's good. There's some smart booking. I like it. I think that's the best way. Like, you kind of saw with guys like Drew McIntyre as well, right? Like, and Chris Masters to a degree, D.H. Smith currently. Sometimes the best thing for you is to leave the company and shine and then come back. It worked. Gallows was in an interesting position himself. Yeah. I thought Gallows was more talented personally always, but I think sometimes you just need a second wind, and you need time away to rebrand yourself.
Yeah, and I think that would be a good rebranding of Ryback, but I think Kalisto goes over, and I think that leads to a Sin Cara-Kalisto feud.
Yeah, if not, or maybe we...
Baron Corbin,
or maybe even a Rusev.
Yeah. Yep, all of those are all possibilities, and I think all of them are beneficial to both competitors, because I think it'll help further the story and further where these guys need to be. And it just gives more storyline, which is something we all crave. So
absolutely.
Next
I can't even say if we're going to see that live, just the way our schedules personally work out. So I mean, and it's not something I'm rushing to tell me. Like you said, it was a dark match. It's a pre-tape.
Yeah.
But it's really the same thing to you and I. It may as well be a dark match.
Yeah. It'll be there. We'll hear about it. We'll know the results. And that'll be the end of it. The next match, Dolph Ziggler versus...
I think the next thing would probably be Shane and Steph.
Shane and Steph, get that out of the way.
Do you think that starts? Do you think that starts, or is it in the middle, or where do you think that gets placed?
I think that's more towards the end of the show. That's why I was kind of booking it for a pre.
Okay, we'll come back to it then.
Yeah. Next match is Ziggler versus Corbin. I think Corbin has to win in his debut.
Absolutely agree with you, man.
And Ziggler's nothing. Sadly, he's not where some fans would like him to be.
I mean, you look at all the talents that is there right now, but where does he fit, you know? Like, they kind of tried that thing with the authority in him, and it was, you know, it was something there, but I just don't know where he fits. I like Dolph. I've loved Dolph. He's the guy from the class that we talked about, the MVP, the Carlitos, and the Sheltons. He's the one that survived it.
But
I think he may be joining some of those guys pretty soon by his choice. I mean, he kind of had a similar deal that Carlito did, where, remember Carlito, just before he was fired the last time, or quit, or whatever it was, he wanted to leave, and Vince did his Jedi mind trick and got him to resign. Kind of did a similar thing to Dolph. Dolph was ready to go act and do a stand-up career, and look what happened. I will say, I have one prediction on this, Joel. I wonder, with those commercials, if maybe Titus O'Neil comes out for a save.
It's possible.
And that's a feud you go to with Titus and Baron Corbin.
Yeah, that's two big men, and it's a good little reintroduction of Titus, and Corbin's feuding with another I like to say, established guy on the main roster, so it doesn't hurt Corbin at all. I think.
Yeah, that's my prediction for this match. I think he's going to win, but I think he's going to go a little too far at the end, and that's when you bring out Titus.
Yeah, that's a good prediction. So the next
saving match, that one.
Yeah, the next match is the tag team match to determine the number one contender for the WWE Tag Team Champion, currently held by the New Day. Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy versus the VOD Villains. English and
Coach. Can I say, Aiden English didn't talk very much in NXT near the end of there. I've been super impressed with his talent on the microphone. He's better than I ever thought he was.
Yeah, I think they're decent on the mic, and I like their
energy. Gotch is okay, but Aiden's very good. I think there's even a possibility out of these four guys. I think Aiden has the best chance of a single career.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
He's the good look, good in the ring, and he has pretty good mic skills. I don't know how long the VOD Villains are going to last as an act. I do think they're going to win this match. Yeah. But I do think that he has a possibility to be a U.S. champion, intercontinental, mid-card kind of guy, yeah, if and when the VOD Villains flounder.
Yeah. I've heard Vince is already kind of soured on them a bit.
Fair. There's no reaction.
Yeah, but I do agree with you. I think the Dudleys come out and cause Enzo and Cass, and that their feud continues, and then the VOD Villains go on to feud with the New Day.
Yeah, and I think the New Day win that, because I think you're building up to Cass and Enzo are the ones that ultimately beat the New Day.
Yeah. All right, I think we're in agreement so far on booking. Let's go to...
We gotta do something different because the belt's on the line.
Yeah. Let's go with Dean Ambrose versus Chris Jericho.
You go first.
Oh, make me go first. You know what? I think Jericho wins this because it's proven that they like to kind of have their... swerve, surprise, see, we're not always predictable. I think Jericho gets a cheap win, and that furthers this feud, because I think this Dean and Jericho feud is going to have at least another pay-per-view or two. So I see Jericho getting the first win by dirty, cheap matters.
Ah, so this will be the first time that we disagree on something, and I like it. I'm going to go with Dean. I think, you know, that what they did with WrestleMania really hurt him. They've been trying to build him back up. And especially if you're going to do this Shield thing, I think you need to get him hot. Getting a win over Jericho proves that. I got Dean Ambrose winning this one.
No, the nice thing with this match is either or can go over. And
for sure. It's a hard one to really tell.
Yeah, and either it, and I think it furthers the storyline for both of them, regardless of where they go, whether it's building Dean back up or whether it's building a feud. So either or work for me. The next match is, we'll go with the Intercontinental title. The Miz will be defending his newly won Intercontinental title with the lovely Maryse at ringside against the King of Swing, Cesaro.
I got the Miz. Everyone kind of makes the same that this is an instant win for Cesaro. I think he picks it up at Extreme Rules, holds a title here.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think the Miz retains. It just makes sense that the Miz gets a little bit longer of a run and they cheat Cesaro. Cesaro's kind of wound up him in the promo department, or at least that's how they want it perceived. So I think that Cesaro's gotten the one up on Miz a few times, so it's time that the Miz gets one on Cesaro. And I mean, it's not going to kill Cesaro to take a loss to the Miz, no. Especially with
Maryse will probably have some interference in this. And I think they've done such a good job building that Maryse Miz dynamic. You have to build that up still a little bit.
Yeah.
And Cesaro won't be hurt by one loss. I think this is a feud that goes two or three pay-per-views.
I would agree with you.
What is next?
Next is the ultimate feud that they seem to be destined to do this forever. Sami Zayn, El Generico versus Kevin Owens.
Oh, God. I don't know. How awesome was that package, though?
Oh, it was fantastic. It built it up. And I was listening to the Sami Zayn podcast with Chris Jericho.
He kayfabed it. I loved it.
They are going to... They will never reveal that they are friends.
I love it. I love the kayfabe. I love the kayfabe. It was great. As soon as he did, I'm like, okay, well, Sammy's going kayfabe. I like it.
Yeah. You know how this match is going to end, Josh? It's going to end in no contest.
Oh!
That's your going with, hey?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a no contest. I think they're going to be left brawling all over the arena. It's just going to be so crazy that they're going to have a stipulation at Extreme Rules. But I think this feud goes on till at least SummerSlam, because these two hate each other.
This could have the potential of Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho type of feud.
Yep, and I think that, because listening to the podcast, how meticulous Sammy is, and just how much both of them want this to be important and special, I think they are going to pull all the stops, or at least build towards pulling all the stops. I think this could, this feud could be feud of the year, and this could eventually have match of the year candidate in it.
So you're going to go with no contest. Are you going to go for that in your decision for the belt?
Yep.
Okay. I like it. It's a bold prediction. I don't think this, in a way, it's kind of a cop-out, because this is a hard match to pick, is what I mean by that.
Yeah.
It's a hard match to pick. I don't know who's going to win this. I have zero idea. I'm going to change my mind a million times up to the match. As far as recorded as we go right now, I think Kevin Owens wins it.
Yeah, that's...
Because you have this... I think you tell the story that Sammy just can't get by him.
Yeah,
because he keeps on getting closer and closer and closer, but he just can't get by him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... You could tell me Sammy wins this. You could tell me KO wins this. You could tell me it's no DQ and they just try to kill
him. I think you had to build up to the Sammy win.
Yeah.
I think that's... Sammy winning it is the payoff, right? It's the payoff. He backs Adam and... Sammy getting the first match doesn't do anything, because then he gets his revenge. He won it. And the last time he kind of screwed him out, he screwed him out of his KO out of his Intercontinental title at the Royal Rumble. This is KO's time to go over him.
Yeah. And thinking about that it logically makes sense. But I can see them doing a screwy finish on this.
For sure. I mean, you had a great call too, and it's a ballsy pick. I like it.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I got to go a little off the wall here.
For sure.
The next match, one of the second last match, Charlotte defends her women's championship against Natalya. Rick and Brett are at ringside. This is like NXT TakeOver. Who do you got, Josh?
I got Natalya Neidhart. We're in the title. Back to Calgary.
Yep, that's where I'm going. Calgary bias. Storyline. Yep. It's a nice little story for Brett and her. They get to stand in the ring. It's a nice little organic moment that's just like, yeah, no, this is why I like pro wrestling.
I don't care if I'm thinking Natty Lutz of the title the next night on Raw, to be completely honest.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I just think it's
the moment.
This guy just got over cancer. WWE's all about their moments, and it's something, I don't mean to be morbid, but you know, when they do have the Brett package eventually one day. It's something they're going to want to put in those packages, and I know that's something they're thinking about.
Yeah. So I don't disagree with you, Natty. But it could easily be Charlotte winning. I mean, this is
WWE. For sure. If it's Charlotte, I would be shocked, but I can just see that visual of Brett holding up Natty's arm with Natty with the women's title tear in her eyes. And Charlotte won the NXT, and Charlotte won the NXT thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, and unlike the NXT match, which was my match of the year, that year. I think it was yours as well, I believe.
It was up there. I don't think it was quite.
I think that Natty lost that one as well, and I think this Natty's always kind of got closer and closer, and I think this is finally the one for her to get it.
Yeah, you finally have the neutral flair. That's been the storyline for Charlotte since she's turned heel, so it just makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do something a little different. Let's go through. So, Kalisto over Ryback for both of us.
Yes.
Corbin over Ziggler for both of us.
Yeah.
Vaudevillains over Enzo and Cass for both of us.
Now, Joel, I was under the impression that the New Day will be fighting on this show.
Yeah.
So, who do we have winning that then?
Oh, are they going to have the match right after?
I was under the impression that's what's happening. Because the Wyatt segment's gone now.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I think the New Day retain.
I would. No, I'm going to the VODs.
Oh,
because nice. You need a payoff for this tournament.
That would be a big payoff. but I...
And the vaudevillains are the exact opposite of the New Day.
Yeah.
I like the Aiden English line when he said, we're going to party like it's 1899. Which is an easy, smarky line to add.
Yeah. It's hard, but I'm still going to go with the New Day.
And you're probably right. I mean, you're saying what you say to events, they get no reaction.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of things there that add up that you were probably correct about most of that.
You never know. Next match, we have Natty winning the Women's Champion over Charlotte. I have a no DQ with Sammy and KO. You have KO winning. I've got Jericho winning. You've got Dean winning. We both have The Miz winning. And now our main event and the hot topic.
Oh, God, I don't know what to do.
Reigns versus AJ Styles.
Let me go with this first. I think Roman's winning.
I would agree,
too. Roman is retaining. I'm going to say that first. We're both agree on that?
Yep.
Okay, so we agree that Roman's retaining, so that's out of the way. It's just what happens. Is it Roman? Is it Finn? Or is it AJ with the bullet? It can't be... I think we can both rule out AJ, right? Or is AJ with them all? Do you think that's a chance still?
Yep, I think it's the four of them. I'm going to stand by that. Okay. That's my little hill that I'll die on.
So you think it's the four of them?
Yep. I think...
Okay.
I think
does Finn come out of this show, though? Or do you do a rematch? Do you ultimately find he's with them? And you have a triple threat. You have the three-man tag at Extreme Rules, and that's when Finn comes out. Is it Extreme Rules?
Yeah, that's a possibility too. I think Finn is the question mark. We don't have quite the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the tapings. I don't think the tapings will tell us quite enough, but it'll be interesting to see what they say.
If he's not on it, then it's going to tell you quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he won't be on it. I think he will be on it because they don't.
He'll probably address the losing the title, you would assume.
Yeah, I think that's what they'll do. But whether he's main roster bound or not is totally up in the air. But I think AJ Styles and the Good Brothers are part of the Club Bullet, and they are going to be going after Roman Reigns and the Usos.
Yeah, I think we're getting a three-man tag or something at Extreme Rules. Some kind of match with that mixture.
Yeah. It's going to be... Josh, AJ Styles is headlining a WWE pay-per-view in 2016.
Yes, he is. Last year. Now, do you think there's any chance that they help AJ win the title?
You know, it's crossed my mind many times, and the internet would break if AJ Styles won the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
From Roman, too. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things where it'd be like, the crowd would lose, you're in Chicago, the crowd would go crazy, the internet would go crazy. There's a lot of guys that are just, I think a lot of people want Styles to win that title. If it's not at Payback, I do think he'll win it at one point this year.
Yeah, I just, to me... If Roman had been a champion for about 4 or 5 months, then I would consider it.
Yeah.
But the guy is the guy, and he just won it at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I think that's why we won't see the title change, but...
And he can't be a four-time champion. Like, that's just getting stupid. Like, so I'm saying, like, we need a long title reign from Roman now. I'm not a huge Roman Reigns guy, but I just think the best booking is now... You have him as the guy, let's do it. Let's make him have the title. I'm going to root against him in all his matches, and so are you, Joel, obviously.
Yeah. I got my AJ Styles shirt ready and round for Sunday.
But I still think the best booking decision is you need to make him a strong champion.
Yeah, I
totally... I thought they did a better job on SmackDown, too, of getting beat down by the Bullet Club than they did on Raw as well.
Yeah, that was one little sticking point that, you know, but at the same time... I mean, what happens at the end of Payback's huge. Like, I think there's a lot of anticipation for how it all plays out. You know the Usos are getting involved. You know Anderson and Gallows are getting involved. Mm-hmm. Just at the end of the day, are they too sweet in each other and telling others to suck it and putting up the gun sign? Or
It could be very much Bash of the Beach.
Yep.
It could be very much a Bash of the Beach situation.
Which I don't think I would complain at all.
Well, by that, I mean Roman turns on the Usos.
Ooh.
It's like, who's he with? Who is he with? And Roman goes and spears the Usos. and then they too sweet with the Good Brothers. Oh, it could be that.
I don't know how wrestling fans, like internet fans, would react to that.
It could be that. I think that's heat, man. I'm obviously I prefer AJ with Finn and the Good Brothers, but if they went with Roman, it's an interesting twist.
Yep, and it's WWE. There's so, and that's the nice thing about this. There's so many possibilities.
And then maybe you have to enlist. Maybe Finn goes with them. Maybe Finn is like Mo was saying. Since Finn's such a baby face, maybe he comes to help AJ.
Yeah, I do.
And then Seth comes, and then Seth comes with them as well. You get the three of them together.
That's another possibility.
And you have kind of Roman's goons of Anderson and Gallows. Because if you want to get extra heat on Roman, he already has enough heat. But if you really want to put the stamp on it, that's what you do. You do the Bash at the Beach with him. Also, Cena had talked about doing a heel turn. What if Cena comes out and is with Roman and he screws him over and it's the four of them?
Oh,
and he swerved us when he's going to come back, and he pulled the Hogan. Because no one is going to get... There's no guy that the universe loves right now more than AJ. He's where Brian was. Would you agree with me? He's not as hot as Brian, but he is the number one babyface right now, I'd have to say.
Yeah, I think he's... You heard the crowd was getting behind him more and more, so... I would agree with you.
So these are just some ideas I'm thinking at. I think you're going to have that Bash of the Beach situation here, where it's going to be like who's with who, and someone's dropping that metaphorical leg drop. But the question is, who drops the metaphorical leg drop on who? And that's the biggest thing, right?
I don't know.
And if you do, if you really want this to be a Bash of the Beach, the tag match makes even more sense.
Oh, so many questions.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think we have so much potential for so many different storylines that you're kind of left kind of going, anything can happen. I do think we both agree that it is Bash in the Beach again. I think it will be something like that. We just don't
know. It's just who's dropping the leg drop. Who's dropping the leg drop and who's the Randy Savage that's getting it?
Yeah...
Can you just imagine, though, hypothetical, total fantasy booking here? The Good Brothers are beating down on AJ. All of a sudden, you hear, doo, 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 and everyone's like, oh, shit, Cena's back early, and he's going to save AJ. And then Cena picks him up and FUs him.
And he's the leader of the Club Bullet?
Yeah, with Roman, him and Roman together.
Oh, they'd get booed out of the building, and that's what you want.
That's exactly what you want.
So much.
That's what I would personally book it as, and that's something I've been thinking about all day, especially after that Cena tweet. I think he's trolling us, but that's, you know, there's always talked about ways to turn Cena heel, right? Yeah. And he's heated no matter what, but you need people to really still hate him, because I still think a lot of the people would like him when he turns heel. That's the way that you still hate Cena, because you're rooting for AJ Styles or Finn or Seth. Those are guys that everyone loves. For the most part, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to root for them against these goons. These are supposed to be the guys, and they got their muscle with Anderson and Gallows behind them.
Just so much.
Mm-hmm. You could even technically do a finger pope of doom the next day with Roman and Cena.
Don't. Please don't.
They get 16. I don't think that'll happen. I'm just spitballing here.
That's how they get 16? Is the
finger. I know.
You know how much the internet would just implode on itself?
Mm-hmm.
What would we do in the podcast?
I don't know.
We'd just kind of be left sitting there like, I wonder how Mo would react. That's my biggest thing. That's what's missing. Just a small little bit of, what does Mo think of the finger poke do?
But so those are some of the options. I wonder if anything major, I think something will happen major, but I wonder if they continue to tease it until Extreme Rules, where I think there will be a three-man tag.
Yeah.
And that's when you do it.
I think you can't wait any longer. It's time to... You stretch it out longer, it just looks kind of hokey.
My thing is it's 3 weeks, though.
Yeah. So maybe hold it off, but I'd like to just kind of get over and done.
I gotta assume like that's the possibility as well, that they're gonna hold it off just a little bit more.
Wait, they continue to build up. Copyright is.
It could be that, and I think that three man tag is something you want to put on pay per view.
Oh yes, you have to. That will be money.
And like not the Shield one. That's obviously money, but the Usos and Roman with AJ and the Good Brothers, I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I think that's money. And you can even tease that there's a little bit of distrust between AJ and the Good Brothers.
Maybe start teasing a little bit of dissension between the Usos and Roman a little bit as well.
Yeah. But the minute... do you think that they start two-sweeting and telling them to suck it? Do you think they kind of do the Bullet Club gimmick that they did over in Japan?
I think, I don't know if they'll do Suck It, because that's so ingrained with D-Generation X.
Yeah.
But the Too Sweet, NWO never really got over.
Yeah.
So, and WWE, I want to say that, it obviously did get over, but I would assume that they would Too Sweet for sure, because that's going to be the sign, right?
Yeah.
And they hinted at it as well from Bayley's tweet, that she put out the Too Sweet sign, and they've noted that's a symbol they have. I don't think they do the Suck It. The Suck It, by the way, was more the Bucks anyways.
Yeah. That's true.
But, I mean, damn, man. I haven't been this interested in a pay-per-view in a long time, internet network special or whatever. I mean, the Authority stuff, too, we talked about. I'm interested to see what they do in that, but what they do at the end of this. You and I are just going to be watching this match and be like, just get to the end, 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 just get to the end.
Just tell me how it ends. If Finn comes out and hey, coup de grace or does the Bloody Sunday or whatever it's called, 1912, and he hits someone, or maybe they actually have someone hit a leg drop, Josh.
It's metaphorical in every single sense of the word, right?
But suddenly they decide that, we'll do it.
How would you feel if it is Roman?
You know, we've wanted Roman heel for so long. I would be I'd be a little bummed, because I kind of want that Bullet Club of AJ, Finn, and the Good Brothers. But if it's a good story and they do it right, then by all means carry through with it. But it doesn't mean they have to be the Bullet Club, because they could just be the Roman Empire, and then we get the other Bullet Club.
Exactly. But ultimately, I do think that we're going to get that Shield thing this summer. It just seems like we just keep on hearing so much about it. And there's just too much money.
Yeah.
And you can see it all playing out. Like, eventually the Usos are just destroyed. So Roman has to call upon Dean. And him and Dean keep getting beat down and beat down and beat down until one day they're like I said, you and I said this in the Potter off air, where they're just like, they say, like, we have to get him. And Dean's like, nope. And Roman's like, I don't like it either, but we have to. Or who do you think would be more stubborn about it?
I think
probably Dean, right?
Yeah, because they had the feud.
Because they have the feuds, and Dean's like, no, man, I don't want him, I hate him, no. And Roman's like, we don't have a choice, we have to.
And then you have a built-in failsafe for the Shield when you want them to implode again.
And then you have Seth come out, and people just go absolutely apeshit.
Oh, yeah.
The stupid thing is that Roman has the Shield music, so it's not the same. If you heard that music for the first time in 2 years, that ruined some of it, right?
Like, yeah.
When DX comes back, you hear DX like, oh, it's DX music, it's everything. The fact that Roman kept that music, I'm like, I knew it from that point on. I'm like, this sucks, because when they do get back together, it's not going to be the same. You'll still hear that Delta, Sierra, whatever at the beginning, that would be really cool, but it's still the same Shield music.
I think you'll hear that Delta, and then you'll see them come out through the crowd, and they'll probably kind of be dressed up like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be, that's something you say for the pay-per-view. You kind of tease it, because you know fans are into it, and then you hear that music, and then, like you said, you have it in a smart crowd, they go bananas.
And I think ultimately out of that, then that's when Dean does his turn.
Yeah, because it's time to turn old Ambrose into a very angry lunatic.
Yeah, so... Man, there's not a card in there that disappoints, really, except for the pre-show. Even, like I said, Corbin and Dolph, I think, will be a fun match. I think Dolph can get him to what he wants to be, and I like the showcase of Corbin. I think Also, like we said, I think there could be something thrown in there. There could be a random Apollo Crews match just thrown in there against somebody. And the New Day match, we don't know for sure if it's on there, but if it is, it's another thing they could be throwing on there as well. Because I don't think Becky and Emma, I think they're saving for the next for something else.
Yeah, for a pay-per-view that they just need a little bit. Because you can't have like this type of card always, so you got to have some stuff.
Yeah, and you have a mini thing going on with Summer and Sasha, but that hasn't fully fleshed itself out yet.
Whew, that was a good podcast.
So, do we have any backup news?
Just Bullet Club. Just Bullet Club. Let me do one last check because it's been proven. You do one last check.
Yeah, last time we did one last check, it was very sad.
Yeah. So Mario Jannetty got kicked out of a bar. Bray Wyatt sent out a tweet that people think he's closer to returning, which I've heard that he's 4 to 6 months. So 4 to 6 okay. weeks, sorry.
I was like, geez. How long? Luke Harper tore his ACL, right?
I think so.
So he's out for the rest of the year then.
Yeah. Table for three, there will be a drinking problem. We don't know who picked the tab up for that one. Rick Flair. It's Rick Flair. It's the Four Horsemen. Rick.
Dolly.
Yeah.
And Arn.
Arn. So there'll be some
drinking. No Wyndham. No Ole. No J.J. Dillon. Should be fun, though.
Yeah. Rick Flair behaved erratically at the Boston airport. Seemed that he appeared that he could be drunk. No one was sure.
Oh, jeez.
So, and he had a cut on his hand. But nothing's really come from that.
I just don't think they're going to jeopardize anything from that show right now. They're going to keep him on, right? So.
Yeah. And that's about it. Everything's kind of nice and quiet.
It was a quieter week.
Adam Rose.
There's a lot of buildup for stuff. Yeah.
Let's hit on that quickly.
I don't blame him for what he did.
But that's a shame. Like, I've heard the...
But so, he did the first one, and then he was going to do the second one, and said, this is probably career suicide, and then he never did it, so he probably assumed, yep, this is career suicide.
Yeah. So, from what my understanding is, the guy's in the back, because he's a hard worker, he does what he's told, there's no ill will towards him.
Mm-hmm.
Backstage, and people were shocked what he did, and they're just kind of like, oh, weird. And he's gained some respect for standing up for himself, but yeah, it seems like his days in WWE are not.
I mean, it's you do something like that, and it's just kind of like, okay, well, we have all these guys from NXT we're calling up. We're not afraid to cut people.
Yeah.
You're making it a lot easier for them to cut. I would say, like, Adam Rose has talent for sure. Connor, I can't see him doing anything outside of a tag team. And sucks. I think Victor has some talent.
Yeah.
Connor, I've never seen anything from his days in like the game show aspect of NXT.
Yeah. Just nothing. It's a shame. I think we all
back when his name was Connor O'Brien, and he liked cheese.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I think that's where the end of the podcast has hit.
Mm-hmm. Now they hit on Daniel Bryan this week.
No, all quiet.
Good. So do you know in Total Divas, in Total Bellas, the Brie and Bryan move into the house with Cena and Nikki.
What?
Yeah. They move in to help Nikki with her neck surgery.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And they have some behind-the-scenes stuff of Brian's retirement that you've never been seen. Ooh. So Joel may have to watch an episode of Total Bellas.
One. And then I'll be... And then never again.
And, yeah. I think that's about it. Payback is on Sunday. Should be a fun show. We will, of course, have a live update. One day, maybe a live update. But we'll have a show for you up as soon as we can after the show. Also, will we be watching Camp WWE after?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll have a report on that as well. And it'll be an interesting Sunday. So until next time, cheers.
Can we join the Club Bullet, please? Please?
One versus all. Enjoy the day, people. We'll be right back. he told you that, bearing anything from the NXT tapings that happened, we would add on to it. So, just to remind you, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, Ultimate Babyface Jill Johnson. We are continuing the roll on here with the bonus feature for the One Fall podcast, because NXT had their tapings. So, spoiler alert, you've already listened to the whole pod for the One Fall podcast. If you don't want to listen to any spoilers for NXT, do not listen to this point. You've been warned. Going forward now, we're going to talk about NXT spoilers. Some of this stuff is already on the WWE website and Twitter page, so some of the stuff may be known. But if you don't want to know anything, you want to save NXT, stop listening right now. This is the last time you've been warned.
Run, run.
So, Eric Young is in WWE.
I was shocked. I thought Bobby Roode would have been a bigger, made a bigger impact, but hey, they got Eric Young.
No pun intended.
Yeah. And Dixie Carter is in tears right now.
Do you ever get sick of the Dick? Like, everyone uses the Michael Jordan crying meme, which I'm not a big fan of, but I will never get sick of the Dixie crying meme.
No, you know, as much as it's kind of that situation where you kind of feel bad for her, at the same time, you're kind of like, eh, not really.
I love it. It's great.
Yeah.
This is it. How bizarre is it that we saw Samoa Joe as the champion of a WWE company in the ring with Eric Young?
Yeah, it seems definitely a little weird. It definitely seems like something that you're like, oh, this doesn't seem right. But it just shows that there was talent in TNA, and it just didn't use it right.
So a former world champion, now in the company.
Yep. Had the Daniel Bryan storyline.
He did. It was, and he beat one storyline. I think he beat a guy with a leg. It's weird because James Storm has got to be crying in sleep right now.
Yeah, he made a mistake.
Because him and EC3 are really the last two big guys over there.
Yeah, and I think EC3 will jump ship before. Well, I don't think he'll jump ship, but I think there'll be a point where he'll
just be Derek Bateman again. You would think, right?
Yeah, unless they want to kind of revitalize him.
Make him Ethan Carter, because Ethan Carter is Dixie's nephew.
Yeah, I can imagine them giving him something, a name something similar to it, and then just working around it.
Yeah, or they could just make him Derek Bateman.
Make him a serious Derek Bateman.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Eric Young comes out, he confronts Joe, and they have a match, and he cut a promo on Twitter and on YouTube as well. Eric Young, which is just, it's so bizarre seeing some of these guys, because 2 years ago, a year ago, you never thought any of this would be possible.
No. And it's now very real.
Like, Hunter just keeps on getting sign after signing after signing. AJ, the Bullet Club, Nakamura, now Eric Young, and we're just going to assume Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
Because he was already there at the Takeover special. I think they're saving him for the next Joe feud.
Yeah. Get the Finn thing wrapped up, and then Roode versus Joe. And it means Roode gets a little bit of a break, which is what some guys desperately need. It helps revitalize them, so give them a bit of a break, let them sit on the shelf for a little bit, and let Joe do his thing, and you'll be good.
Where do you see Eric Young fitting in the TNA atmosphere?
The NXT atmosphere?
Yeah.
I can see him being in the title picture. He's always going to be kind of bubbling around there. I could honestly see him having a title run just because but I can see him being a player coach, working with some of these guys, having feuds with different guys, and just helping some of these younger guys, but being still a player in NXT. So I can see him kind of in that. He's very fluid where he can move. I do think they're getting to the point where they may need a secondary title.
Yeah, I was going to say, he'd be a nice secondary title guy. I also, this is one of the first guys that came there, kind of like Austin Aries. I don't think he's coming to the main roster.
Yeah, I don't think. But NXT is not a bad place to be for some of these guys.
Not at all. I think it's a perfect player coach position. Austin Aries, I think, has more of a chance.
Yeah.
But Eric Young, I would be shocked. Would you not be shocked if he's called to the main roster?
Yeah, I would be shocked. But stranger things have happened.
I mean, I think he's a great talent. I think he could do great in the main roster. But he'd be filling, I think, I like him as a serious role right now. You and I think kind of jumped out of TNA when he got to that serious role.
Yeah.
He was kind of in that global group for a bit, and he started getting a little serious, kind of talking like Chris Jericho. But you and I kind of always remember him as the comedy character, kind of their Santino.
Yeah.
And he could, if he goes to the main roster, maybe he takes that role.
Yeah, it's total, and it's a possibility, and it's just that that's where he's going to be, and that's totally cool.
I kind of like the new character he's had, though, just kind of like this rugged ass-kicker.
Yeah.
And I love the little Canadian symbol on it, so we have another Canadian in the company, and Ooh. We have another one coming with Bobby Roode.
More Canadians, the better.
We're multiplying, WWE. We're multiplying back into the company.
We're taking it over. Just yeah. Don't tell them. Don't tell Vince.
It's adding up very slowly. And for a while there wasn't very many. There was like Natty and Tyson.
Yeah.
And now we're adding them all back up. We're coming back up.
We're slowly going to take over WWE. Don't worry. It's coming.
So, yeah, I'm very happy to see her again there. I can't wait for NXT to see him next week.
Yeah.
And Nakamura fought again.
Yeah, and the crowd went bonkers.
And it seems like he has a feud in the mix with Austin Aries.
I'm okay with that. I think both of them could have a good match together.
Oh, that match would be terrible.
Oh, yeah, and we're not going to enjoy that at all. I think Mo is going to hate it the most.
Oh, jeez, that match is going to be ridiculous.
It's
Austin Aries hasn't really had a chance to really have a good match yet. I feel the two opponents they put him in with Baron and LeBron James Jr. haven't really gone to what his style is.
Yeah, and Nakamura and him are going to be able to kind of find that style, and it's going to be fun, and especially if Austin Aries is the heel that we know he can be,
yeah.
We're set.
He's so much better as a heel, it's weird seeing him as a face personally, to be honest.
Yeah.
And next, Finn is back. He was in NXT, so I don't know if that changes anyone's thoughts for coming up this week. He had a little thing with the Drifter. And he's going to have a rematch at the next NXT TakeOver against Samoa Joe, which that I would assume would be his last show.
Yeah, I think that's Finn Balor's last hurrah in NXT.
Because it kind of seems the way that it goes. That happened to Sammy, that happened to Sasha, that happened to a lot of these guys, right?
KO.
You kind of just do that last show, go out on your back, move on to the main roster.
Yeah, it's good rule of thumb, and I'm perfectly okay with it.
Like, a lot of those guys get to the pinnacle there. It happened to Neville as well, really.
Yeah. Neville went out on his back.
Yep.
I guess the next bit of news is we have another legend daughter wrestler.
Well, Tasha Blanchard wrestled again, but she got squashed by Nia Jax. So that sucks.
Yeah. But I think, you know, I think she will find her way into the NXT.
I think she's kind of in a blue pants kind of role right now, where she's going to become a fan favorite, but she's not signed.
Yeah. I think eventually they will sign her, because it just makes sense. And it makes sense for Hunter to sign her, because of his connection with Flair.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And we haven't seen Blue Pants in a while, either.
Blue Pants got in a lot of trouble, and now I believe she's in TNA right now.
What did she do?
She showed disrespect apparently at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn.
I think I had heard she got a little too big for her bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why she's gone.
We also had Paul Ellering's daughter.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. Landstorm trained her. So it's another, I think Nia Jax beat her too, if I'm not mistaken.
They just had put Nia Jax on the warpath.
And she injured Bayley. And we don't know if it's a shoot or if it's a work right now.
Yeah, it's kind of at a pause right now.
So we're not going to give a full update. As far as we know, Bayley was hurt. But my thoughts and my wheels are spinning thinking that this is possibly, it seemed like Nia Jax is on a warpath. We saw a tease with her and Asuka this past week. On NXT, it seems like that may be the match for NXT TakeOver is Nia Jax versus Asuka.
Yeah. And hey, it's a fresh opponent for Asuka. It's a fresh matchup for the title. And I mean, NXT is the place where you can give some of these guys a chance and go see what you can do.
And we don't think Bayley's coming to the company until after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Do you hold off that rematch with Bayley and maybe she eventually gets back up there?
Yeah, I think she's got to claw her way back, that champion that was dethroned, and now she's got to earn her way back. She's got to get wins over some of these other females, and finally, she goes in against Asuka, a well-fought battle, and that's the end of Bayley's NXT tenure.
So, if we're looking at the card right now, we still have one more taping, On the 28th. The tape is that. So when did you say the show is again?
I think they went all the way to May 18th
for right.
tapings.
And when's the NXT TakeOver special?
That is. I'm just double checking here, but I believe it's in June.
I'm assuming it's the 8th, right? 8th or 15th?
It is. Apparently, someone has called it NXT TakeOver Revenge.
Okay, I'm assuming the 15th. Because there'll be three more tapings then, on the 25th, 1st, and 8th?
Yeah, and it will be June 8th, so you have still...
Two more tapings then, yeah.
So, you gotta think, they may go live for those two.
Maybe, That's just before, or that... Is that in the UK for that?
I think so.
And yeah, I think so. I think it's in the UK. Because the UK tour is in June.
Yeah. I think it might be just after.
Or just before.
Because it's the download, right?
Yep.
And what are the dates? It will be...
I know one of those dates is like June 17th or something, because that was one that was sold out.
Yeah, it starts June 10th.
So it's just before they go to Europe.
Yeah. Well, the TakeOver special is just before they go to Europe. And they go until the 17th. So they've gone from the 10th to the 17th, so a whole week.
So what you and I are thinking right now for that TakeOver special, what it looks like we're going to get right now is Joe and Finn. We're assuming Nakamura and Aries. Yeah. We are assuming Asuka and Nia Jax. And someone for the tag titles. And then something for Eric Young and possibly a debut of Bobby Roode.
Yeah. Not a bad show.
No, not a bad show at all. And there you go. We talked about what are you going to do when those three leave, right?
Yeah.
Anok, Finn, and Joe. And all of a sudden, you know, you got Austin Aries, you're going to have Bobby Roode, and you're going to have Eric Young. And then you have some other good talent that could come in there. You know, maybe the Drifter gets up a little bit. You always got to have those other... I like when they have natural... This is, I think, would be the best time ever for the natural NXT talent to finally have a chance.
Yep.
Which is good.
And in just a booking sense, I think they need they may reveal a new GM at one point, and it'll be Dixie Carter, and then this whole TNA life will fully come to fruition.
Maybe. And we had just the thing we didn't get to record on last time is we had the start of the Cruiserweight Global Championship. Zack Sabre won his match. Yep. Shocker.
So surprising.
He's going to win a lot.
Yeah.
Who won the other one?
I don't know. I've been meaning to look into that, but I always just kind of...
Well, we're not going to get to it now, but apologies to whoever won that match. But, so it's slowly beginning. It's so bizarre because it's not in the company.
Yeah.
And it's like this dungy kind of...
Tiny ring.
Like, they're going to the WWE Global. It's like, what the hell? This is so bizarre.
Yeah.
Hunter, what have you done?
I think Zack Sabre's an early favorite for that tournament.
If they can get Timothy Ospreay, though.
Will Ospreay,
yeah.
Timothy Thatcher.
Get my indie guys mixed up.
I know he's part of the Super Juniors, I believe.
Okay. I know they want Riddle, too, by the way. I've heard a lot of rumblings they want to get Riddle.
I'm not surprised.
I don't even know if he would be in the Cruiserweight, but they just want him on the NXT roster. Because he's just such a different style, right? That's the thing you and I pointed out when we saw him.
Yeah, I think he's definitely got a different, and that's one thing that you kind of like.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's about it for the NXT tapings.
Yeah,
a lot of good stuff going down. I'm really excited to see Eric Young in the company. It's good to see another face that you recognize. And the WWE just, if these guys can make the cut too for the video game, if Bobby Roode and Eric Young do, game is just getting more and more ridiculous for the roster it's going to have.
Oh, God.
Because you have to assume Nakamura made it, and you have to assume Anderson and Gallows made it. Because they were all signed in January.
Yeah.
More or less. So you have to assume 2K already had the idea. The question is how close is it going to be to get Bobby Roode and Eric Young.
I think it's a little bit closer.
Maybe DLC.
Yeah. What would you do if they made the women DLC this year?
I think that they know not to do it, because if that's what I never said on here is I didn't buy this year because the women weren't in the game. It's the first year in 10 years I didn't buy the WWE game because Sasha Banks and the Four Horsewomen weren't in the game.
They need to have them in that. And as long they're going to have AJ Styles, that's a given.
Yeah, you have to have the women in there, and I want to have different matches for the women.
Yeah.
I want to have the Royal Rumble. Also, I really want to quickly pitch this to you. There's been an idea of doing some kind of Money in the Bank for the women.
Oh. We'll would set you, up for another pod.
I just want to really quickly, short answer, would you want to see the women in the ladder match?
It would be different. It could definitely be unique.
We have never seen that, I don't think.
I don't think so.
I've seen it in TNA and other companies, but I don't think we've seen a... I could be mistaken, but I don't think I've ever seen a women's ladder match in the WWE.
I think it'd be a pretty big deal, and...
We've seen a table match.
Yeah.
With Natty and Layla and Michelle McCool.
Yeah, but we haven't seen... Yeah, a ladder match could be interesting. That would be... I would listen to that idea.
Like, if they had the Money in the Bank for the men and the Money in the Bank for the women, I think that really adds the Money in the Bank, and I think you give it to Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
Or Becky.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. Or they'd probably end up giving it to Eva.
Yep. The ultimate babyface.
I can't imagine her falling from a ladder, though. She may literally break herself in half.
Yeah, that would make me a little nervous.
Yeah. Something to talk about another time, just an idea I thought of that we didn't get in the pod. We previously recorded, wanted to get on there. So, anything else, Jolie?
Nope.
Cool. Getting out of here. Until next time, cheers, and enjoy the views from the six people.